Well, good morning. My name is Don Walters. Sometimes I serve as pastor here at Tiger Community Friends Church. It is really good to be back, to see everyone. Feels like family, right? Being back with family. I want to thank you for your prayers. Following Easter, I did have some planned time off. I don't know how many of you may know this, but we are in the process of selling our home. Some of you may remember it was back in 2000 when we were blessed to have purchased this home here in Tigard, and many of you came and prayed, and if you remember this, the massive sort of living room we had. And so, you know, I look back over the last 20 plus years of being in that home and all the youth group activities we've had and all the youth we've had in the home, not only that, raising our own children, 17 foster children along the way, international students from all over, Japan, China, France, Spain, not to mention some of your own kids that came and stayed with us for a time. We had a number of college students living with us over the years. And so the house has just been so beautifully used. I mean that in the best sense of the term. And about 2 years ago, it was mostly Ian and Mary Grace approached Mary and myself and Brianna and said, you know, we've been thinking it'd be really nice to find a piece of property and all of us living together, do some community, intergenerational living together. And so that started a couple of years ago, and we're now at this point where we have continued talking about it. And just most recently, the 2 weeks that I was off for vacation was spent getting the house, things moved out, and getting the house ready to go up on the market, which it did just go up this last week. Mary and I and Brianna are now living at Mary Grace's in a 10-by-8 room on mattresses, air mattresses, and it's fun. It's an adventure. We've been feeling like it was maybe time to downsize and for a little bit of a change, and so be praying for us as we enter into this great adventure. And then following that, I was actually just, I think it was the day I was heading back into the office after vacation, got a phone call that my dad had fallen and had a brain bleed and was taken to ER and then stay in the hospital. He is now back home. Thank you for your prayers for him. He is now back home. We have set up some in-home care for him for the time being. I'll probably be going over there this afternoon to continue some of the conversations around their needs and maybe what's next for them. But he's doing okay at this point. And so thank you for your prayers for him, for us. Let me go ahead this morning and dismiss. We have some young ones here, and so if you can still fit in one of those tiny chairs, you are dismissed, released, free to go to Children's Church. You're welcome to stay as well, but Ruth Green, thank you for spending time with the young ones. For those of us still here then, we are today heading back to the Jesus backstory. You remember the Jesus backstory? We spent, I don't know, better part of a year and a half with breaks here and there. The last time we hit this was actually March 10th, and then we had a break for the Easter season. The Jesus backstory, right? The backstory that is the Torah. The Torah being the first 5 books of our Bibles, encompassing 54 parshiot, right? 54 sections or passages. Jesus being the fulfillment of the parshiot. In fact, in Matthew 5 and 17, he says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish Torah. Do not think that I have come to abolish the 54 parshiot. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill," right? To get to the deeper meaning, right? To get at the heart, at the soul, at the very essence of what the Torah is really all about, of what the parshiot are really all about. And so with that, today we are heading to the book of Numbers. If you're grabbing a pew Bible, page 122 will be helpful. The words will be on the screen behind me. We are at number 43 now of the 54 parshiot, Parsha Maaseh. Picks up at chapter 33 in the opening line and continues until the very end of Numbers, which is 36 and 13. So Numbers chapter 33, in the opening line here, it says, we read, Ele Maaseh, translated here as, here are the stages in the journey, Vene Israel, of the Israelites, of the children of Israel. It then goes on, when they came out of Egypt by divisions under the leadership of Moses, of Moses and Aaron. Verse 2, at the Lord's command, Moses recorded at Motzaehem, Limaseihem, again translated, stages in the journey, stages in their journey. And then again, that's repeated one more time. This is their journey by stages. And so three times we read of these stages along the journey. And then from there, really much of the Parsha is about just that, about these stages in the journey, Maaseh in Hebrew, and what amounts to then 42 encampments, 42 points along the way where the Israelites stop. Noting that from Rabbi Schneerson, one of the most influential rabbis of the 20th century, he notes this. He says, yet these encampments were not ends unto themselves, only way stations and stepping stones to advance the nation of Israel to their goal of attaining the promised land. So the stops themselves are referred to as journeys. He goes on, the same is true of the journey of life. Pauses, interruptions, and setbacks are an inadvertent part of a person's sojourn on earth. These too are journeys. Ultimately, they are shown to have been the true motors of progression, each an impetus to the realization of one's mission and purpose in life. Noting again from our text, right, we find 42 encampments, these points at which the Israelites, stop along the journey, as Schneerson puts it, right? Not ends unto themselves, but way stations, stepping stones, pauses, interruptions, setbacks, right? Each one is a moment of decision, right? Do we turn back? Do we turn to the right? Do we turn to the left? Or do we carry on, right? Each, Schneerson writes, each one an impetus to the realization of one's mission and purpose in life. It is reported there is such an encampment, a way station, a stepping stone, what amounts to a small inn, a small lodge, located on the way up to the highest peak in the French Alps. This inn, this encampment, provides a bit of a reprieve for climbers, a place for them to rest, a place to get some food, some nourishment, a place to catch some warmth from the fire. Interesting, it's called Mediocre Inn. Mediocre from the French means middle or halfway. From Dr. J. Strack, reference to Mediocre Inn, he writes, imagine coming off a day of tough climbing in the icy, windy, snowy French Alps. The cold has seeped into your bones. You are exhausted. Every muscle in your body aches. At the Mediocre Inn, you find a hot meal and a warm bed. You begin to relax, put your feet up, get comfortable. Who wouldn't like that? But for the climber, success is not found in rest and comfort. Reaching the top of the mountain requires going back out into the cold and wind. It requires stretching and straining and working towards the goal. Interestingly, most climbers never go any farther than Mediocre Inn. Never go beyond this halfway point, right? This encampment, this way station, this stepping stone. Once they've had a day or two of rest and comfort, their goal of reaching the top slips away. He says 80% of the climbers will turn around here, never reaching the Alps' highest peak. They lose their determination to reach their final goal, no longer willing to do what it takes to reach the top. Right, Ele Maaseh, right? The stages in the journey, encampments, way stations, stepping stones, pauses, interruptions, setbacks. An impetus, he says, to the realization of one's mission and purpose in life. Each one a point of decision, and all of us, each one of us has spent time, right? The stages in the journey. maybe not the one the Israelites took, maybe not the one climbing the French Alps, but each one of us, right? Times, places, encampments, way stations, stepping stones, pauses, interruptions, setbacks, right? Each one our own mediocre in. We see this come to pass in the life of Jesus. From the Gospel of John, chapter 12 and verse 27, Elemase, right? The stages of the journey. What is perhaps his final way station, his final sort of we could say stepping stone, climbing the mountain, his mission, his purpose in life, coming to mediocre inn. Right? His point of decision, and Jesus is praying, and here it says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour." And think again here, right? Again, encampment, right? Way station, stepping stones, right? Father, save me from this hour. Save me. No, it was for this very reason, he says. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. It was for this very reason I came to this encampment. This way station, this stepping stone, this pause, this interruption, this setback, right? Save me, no, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, he says, glorify your name. Father, glorify your name. Right? Jesus' final days. Jesus, his troubled heart, his troubled soul. Right at the point of his sacrificial death, it's at hand, and he proclaims above all else. He says, "Father, glorify your name." A troubled soul, Father, save me from this hour. Right, a way station, a stepping stone. No, it was for this very reason. He says, "Father, glorify your name." And what was true for the ancient Israelites, and what was true for Jesus, is also true for you and me. In fact, just before this most recent passage here in John from verse 25, Jesus is speaking and he says, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. In short, it simply means Jesus is calling us to follow in his footsteps. Right? Elemase. Right? Stages in the journey. Whatever is your stage in the journey, whatever is your encampment, your way station, your stepping stone, whatever pauses or interruptions or setbacks you are facing, Jesus invites us. Right? Father, glorify your name. Right in the middle of that situation that you are struggling with. Father, glorify your name. Right in the middle of that illness that is holding on. Right, Father, glorify your name. Right in the middle of that problem that doesn't seem to have an answer. Father, glorify your name. Right in the middle of that muddled relationship. Father, glorify your name. Right in the middle. Whatever that looks like for you, right in the middle. Father, glorify your name. There's a book written by Stephen J. Lawson. It's a story of Jonathan Edwards, one of the kind of premier theologians, philosophers of the 18th century. It's titled The Unwavering Resolve of Jonathan Edwards, and Lawson writes in part, "Every great Christian leader has a master passion, an overruling ambition that dominates his life and drives his soul. It is that in which he most believes, that which most captures his mind and inflames his heart. Such a chief aim controls him and defines his very reason for being. This supreme sense of purpose becomes a motivation so strong that it empowers him to overcome all obstacles," and we can think here stages in the journey, "and override all adversity," right? Pauses, interruptions, setbacks. For Jonathan Edwards, this passion was the glory of God. right? Father, glorify your name. What is really the overarching theme all through the scriptures, over 500 references, Psalm 29, ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Psalm 19, opening line, the heavens declare the glory of God. Isaiah 6:3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is full of his glory. Romans 11:36, for from him and through him and to him are all things, to him be the glory forever. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Isaiah 43:7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made, right? Created for the very glory of God, elemase, right? Stages in the journey, whatever is your stage in the journey. Whatever is your encampment, your way station, your stepping stone. Whatever pauses, interruptions, setbacks you are facing in all of life. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And so as we move into a time of open worship, into a time of stillness together, I want to invite us to sit in the stillness. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. And so as we sit in a time of reflection now, I want to just throw out a few things for us to consider and to maybe ask, does my life glorify God? Does my life glorify God? Is all of my doing to the glory of God? Is all of my doing to the glory of God? To borrow the words of Stephen Lawson regarding Jonathan Edwards, we could ask, is the glory of God my master passion and overruling ambition? And then with that, we can think, maybe what would it look like? Right, Father, glorify your name. What would it look like to start each day? To end each day, Father, glorify your name. What would it look like to begin every conversation, to engage every activity? Father, glorify your name. Right, every step, every thought, every word, every deed. Right, what would it look like? Every stage of the journey. Every pause, every interruption, every setback. Whatever it is that you are facing, Father, glorify your name. Elemase, here are the stages in the journey.